Watch out, Annandale. Someone's looking for a mate. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'll explain that in a second. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt. Brett here today on a day. Is it going to storm here this afternoon?
That's what I keep seeing in the forecast. Anything on the radar?
Well, I'll tell you. Let me pull it up. I mean, I have to dust off the thing from the old morning show here. Let's see the weather here. Probably. It's looking dark to the south specifically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're saying a chance of thunderstorm after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy. Chance of precipitation 70%. So, it looks like some rain's all around us actually. So, don't know if the baseball game's going to get in tonight. But taking one thing off my schedule, that's a good thing nowadays. Trust me about that.
You're going to go to Annandale instead?
The search is on for love in Annandale. That is for sure. A pet peacock named Dave has been missing from a central Minnesota hobby farm since Friday, May 4th. Last seen along County Road 5 in Wright County near Annandale, about an hour northwest of the Twin Cities. Dave's owners believes he may have fled in search of a mate. Please help. Dave is missing. Kendra Olson Liebhard posted on her Facebook page. May I make a point here? Don't name your pets or hobby farm peacocks human names, because you know, if you don't know you don't see the picture and see Dave's a peacock, then you might just Dave's missing. Oh no, help, Dave is missing, said Kendra Olson Liebhard, post on our Facebook page. We have not seen our peacock since Friday, and he hasn't come back to roost at night. According to joyofanimals.com, spring is peacock mating season. The large birds are polygamous by nature, often having several partners during the season. I remember college. If anyone sees the peacock, contact the Liebhard family on their Facebook page. And if you find Dave, how should you catch him? Picking up like a chicken. Okay, considering most people today don't know how to pick up a piece of KFC chicken, let alone real. Yeah, that's going to go well. That's going to go well. I was just attacked by a pretty bird. Have you seen Dave the peacock in Annandale?
I haven't seen Dave yet. No luck.
Keep an eye out there. That was actually not the I was vibrant yesterday myself because of the New York Times editorial, the one from the clown Gerald Alexander, which basically, liberals, you're not as smart as you think. This is, I'll save you the time before you set out to go and read this op-ed, because I literally was livid when I read this. It is the epitome of what I said was going to happen about December of 2016, is that when this entire clown car explodes and there's clown parts everywhere, the Republicans are not going to look and say, boy, did we make a mistake. They're going to look at the liberals and say, it's not our fault we voted for him. You made us vote for him. You forced us to vote for him, and it's your fault. And if you don't stop making fun of us for voting for him, we'll vote for him again. I mean, that was it. Did you see that one at all, perchance?
I did not see that editorial.
It was on the front page of the review section yesterday. Here's my response. This editorial tries to lay out the argument people on the left, due to their arrogance, name-calling, and extremist agenda, are the real villains in Trump's America. It reads more like a conservative admission and threat. We conservatives now realize Trump's a nightmare, but it was you liberals who forced us to vote for him. And if you don't stop pointing out our undeniable mistake, we'll do it again. Alexander's argument boils down to a few different points. First is this idea the liberals were the ones to start picking on conservative whites. This is laughable. This country started down our current political discord path when Reagan removed the fairness doctrine, the FCC rules which ensured equitable and balanced parts of view were presented. Within a decade after Reagan removed the rules, quality in media was replaced by conservative ideology and zealotry aimed specifically at what conservative whites believed were their enemies. When Fox News came on the scene, their pitch wasn't a conservative view of today's news. It was CNN Lies, a preview of the narrative validation the network would spew over the next two decades. Having evolved, the right's modern mantra is ignore news you don't like, usually screaming about unfounded bias while labeling any criticism as a personal attack. As far as liberals hurting conservatives by screaming racist, that's on conservatives. When something undeniably bigoted happens, to be fair, usually from a group associated with the far right, Republicans rarely condemn it. Most times they dismiss the racism bigotry by implying it's just the liberal PC police. Meanwhile, they turn themselves into victims, implying anyone condemning racism isn't just attacking the racist and racist behavior, rather, while they turn themselves into victim mirror campaign against wholesome conservative values at the hands of the unfair liberal guilt by association. It's pity party 101. Alexander goes out of his way to dismiss the real racism in this country by implying it's unfounded. By the way, he has this thing where he talks about people outraged about Chinese prom dresses and burrito carts run by non-Latino people. I notice he basically completely avoids Charlottesville in his entire article. How can Mr. Alexander overlook the daily name-calling and belittling coming from Trump while calling out liberals for their civil discord? The right voted for a man who mocked a disabled reporter. The right voted for a man who bragged about sexually assaulting a married woman. They did so proudly and defiantly. Daily insults, scandals, and embarrassment from the president are a far bigger issue in our current uncivilized America. By dismissing Trump's role in all of this, Alexander wipes away any credibility. The article goes out of its way to tag the conservatives' many liberal demagogues. Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, and Michael Moore are hated by the right. At times, they've been somewhat tone-deaf when it comes to working white poor in this country, but Alexander's argument is a comment from Pelosi in 2014 and Obama in 2008 and a Michael Moore comment from 2017 offsets the daily mountain of unacceptable comments, lies, and deceit coming from Trump and his administration. Sorry they hurt your feelings, Gerard, but you seem to be searching pretty hard for the hate in the haystack for the needle which you hope you can hide behind. I mean, that's the epitome of what I've always said. It's the, you know, one kid shoplifts a 5-cent lollipop, the other person's an axe murderer, and Republicans scream, they're both guilty of crimes. You know, that's how they are. Mr. Alexander and bitter Trump fans, how about that? No, Mr. Alexander and bitter Trump fans realizing Rushmore isn't about to get prepped for its fifth head. You're in denial. Trump isn't what you thought he'd be, and that's got to be hard to accept. Fair enough. Take your time. Just do us a favor and stop with the pathetic. It's not our fault. We hate Democrats more than anything else. Hence, we elected a completely unqualified, sketchy businessman to the presidency because we knew he'd anger Democrats. Rather, it's the left's fault we voted for Trump. Even though we had to do so, we had to get into bed with the unprecedented incompetence, hypocrisy, mean-spirited arguments, and occasional undeniable racism. And as for your threat to vote for Trump again, you might as well just say, we'll show you how stupid. Yeah, you would. So thank you very much. There you go. God, I mean, it's starting already. They know he's incompetent. Take a look today. As he can't self-congratulate himself about moving the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem just to not start a massive war in the Middle East. They have, what, dozens? Was it 36, 37 people killed on the Palestinian border? People furious about this whole thing. I mean, it's the Iranian nuclear. I was reading about the Iranian nuclear deal. Do you know who really benefits by us pulling out of that deal? Russian businesses. They make a mint off of us pulling out of that deal. Seriously, dead serious. The Russian businesses, many of them seem to have been supporting Trump. They make a mint by the U.S. pulling out of this. And Israel's happy because they want a war. You know, it's everything this guy does, it turns to garbage, which is also backed up, if I might, by an exceptional story out of Bluestem Prairie where they're basically reprinting an editorial. And it's a Washington Post editorial, and it's also an editorial from the Marshall Independent. Now, the Washington Post editorial talks about conservatives out in rural areas, and it basically they talk about how there's a lot of people in the rural America who are having second thoughts about this, and as they should. I mean, he's pretty horrible. But the shocking one, and I got to share this with you, and I will on the links later on today, is the one I'm going to read from Sally Joe over at Bluestem. There's a different feel at the Marshall Independent, published in a more conservative Lyon County, Minnesota, which doesn't seem to have voted for a county which doesn't seem to have voted for a Democrat for president since great-grandfather was a pup. Area farmers refuse to blame Trump for China canceling soy deliveries. Jody Isaacson reported, While some Southwest Minnesota farmers are frustrated with the increasing tariff war with China, they're not ready to blame the Trump administration for any agricultural downturn. The trade dispute with China is now escalating as Chinese buyers started canceling orders for U.S. soybeans. That's a trend that could threaten the financial stability of area farmers if it continues. At the same time, farmers in China are being encouraged to plant more soy, apparently to help offset any shortfall from the United States. I'm really disgusted with the way things are going, said Roger Dale, Hanley Falls farmer and Yellow Medicine County Soybean Growers Association director. Some people blame President Trump, but just look at what Chinese have done to us. Okay, there is a delusional level. I mean, seriously, wow. How rose-colored glasses or orange-colored glasses are you wearing at this point? It irritates me. It irritates me so much stuff our citizens use is made over there and only our ag products are shipped over there, Dale said. The tariffs should benefit everyone in the U.S., even produce more jobs for our people who need them. The cost of living might go up a little, but if we don't sell our ag products, we could lose a lot of farmers. The Chinese aren't willing to buy U.S. soybeans with a 25% tax hanging over their head, said Dan Basie, president of the Ag Resource and Agricultural Research and Advisory Firm. You just don't want that risk. China typically buys most of its soybeans from South American nations such as Brazil and Argentina during spring and early summer. It shifts to the U.S. soybeans in the fall. As a result, for now, the cutbacks from the United States are relatively small. But should they persist, it could cause real pain to U.S. farmers. Roughly 60% of U.S. soybeans are shipped to China. 60%! Sitting on the docks. There might also be a political impact. Three of the top five soybean exporting states, Iowa, Indiana, and Nebraska, voted for Trump in 2016. Illinois, the top soybean exporter, and Minnesota, the third largest, backed Hillary Clinton. So can I just – how are you that myopic in your analysis? How we didn't have a trade issue until Trump specifically put tariffs on Chinese steel, which the Chinese said – hey, are you sure you want to do this? And Trump said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And they said, no, wait, seriously. Are you sure you want to do this? And Trump goes, yeah, do it. We're going to do it. You're going to negotiate. I already mentioned, what was that, a week and a half ago? The first negotiation Trump put out against the Chinese was demanding the Chinese basically give up $500 billion worth of trade revenue to basically offset $150 billion worth of tariffs that the United States is willing to put on them. I mean, that's not a ratio any sane country is going to accept. And that's not even really a starting point. I read a fantastic analysis about this over the weekend where the person sort of said, this is such an insanely bad starting point for Trump that China would probably be better off just throwing their hands in the air saying, fine, trade war with the United States. We have enough other countries on the planet we can work with. And reminder, China's been working extensively in Africa, recruiting those nations as trade partners. Trust me, I guarantee you there's a lot of countries in Africa that if they said, can you guys get soybeans planted ASAP, they would, and they would have that would offset the shortage of American soybean producers. Guarantee you. Already Brazil and Argentina supply a ton, but and India, they've already cultivated in India as well. But I guarantee you, this is a bad idea. But to sit there and say Trump has nothing to do with this, your product had a market prior to Trump putting these new tariffs in place. You sitting there and saying, oh, I don't like China retaliating because no other country outside the United States should have their own mindset, their own trade policy, their own free will, is just stupid. And I'm sorry, I said this, and I'll take the editorial, and I'll take this, and I'll say what I said the day after the election. Trump was elected by idiots and racists. And he was. He was. And if you are at the point where you are a soybean farmer, and you had markets that were available to you earlier this year who have all of a sudden been shut down because the Chinese are saying, no, we're not taking your American product, and yet you still, in response to Trump's initial tariffs, and you still want to think that Trump's innocent in this, well, may God have mercy on your idiot head, because my God, you are not going to see the forest for the trees. And guarantee it, come next election, they'll find another reason to vote for Trump. When Trump, if he gets thrown out of office, they'll say it was wrong and unjustified. But at the end of the day, these people will watch their farms burn. And there's Trump with a gas can and matches, and they will still say, damn that Hillary Clinton. Because these people are broken at the freaking core, man. Seriously. How are you that broken? Well, it's not Trump. Really? Really? Oh, my God. This is what we have to fight in this country. It's self-imposed ignorance. And for God's sakes, if we don't fight it, we'll never succeed. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Jamie Malberg, by the way, Democrat of the day, 25A. She joins us in a little bit. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Indigenous. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, this is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design, and I'd like you to tune in to a new program, Drink in the Style. Sundays at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style is going to be a one-hour conversation about interior design and aesthetics, all while enjoying a cocktail created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, Sundays at 5 p.m., brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible, for many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Is it time to downsize, but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We're experienced in making this process as easy as possible. Whether it is help with pricing your home, assistance in finding movers, or any of the other professionals you might need to get your home sold, we're here for you. Take the worry away by giving us a call today at 612-207-5388. That's 612-207-5388, or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Once again, thanks to Todd Kolod, who last week sponsored AM 950 Radio, a great listener. And once again, if you want to help sponsor the station, by all means, we do encourage that. That's always good fun. You can go over to our web, or we'll just give it a call, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd's got a band, Just Folk. They've got a new, they're on Bandcamp. They got a brand new album. You can listen to it there. You can also see their videos. We link to them on the Facebook and the Twitter page. Go check that out for sure. 952-946-6205. I actually have to admit, I am dumbfounded. That is, when I read that story out of Marshall, and there is a guy out there who is looking at his crops, and he's saying to himself, wow, I might not even have a market for these crops. And that's because China is not ordering those crops. And China is specifically not ordering those crops because Trump put a tariff in place, and yet looks and says, Trump has nothing to do with this. What did you think was going to happen? This is this Republican Reagan mentality that you basically, we're America. So when we tell another country to jump, they say how high. We were bad enough to to the rest of the world when we had W in power. And it was really bad when W got reelected. Trust me, I had people worldwide contacting me at that point saying, hey, I was going to give you the guys the out, but you reelected the guy. That's on you. And you want to know the truth? They were right. And we had a chance to basically make sure nothing like W ever happened again when we had the opportunity to investigate the banking scandal, to investigate the Iraqi war. And too many damn Democrats sat back and said, well, we just don't want, they're calling us sour grapes. I don't like being called names. You have a responsibility to the American people, to the freaking Constitution. You do. You have a responsibility to the Constitution to make sure that things are not being, militaries aren't being sent into foreign countries under false pretenses, or basically that the federal government's not being set up, the federal banking system's not being set up to fail by allowing deregulation to go to the extreme on steroids. You had a responsibility, and we didn't heed that. And so we've already lost a lot in this country. Obama tried to bring it back. And he did a pretty successful job. He was pretty much beloved worldwide. But there were the Republicans in the House and the Senate refusing to work with him did not help our case. And now we've got Trump. And now we are the laughingstock. I mean, watching Bolton yesterday on, was it Face the Nation or ABC News? It could have been one of the two. Watching him, it was on CNN. He was screaming at the CNN host, basically, when he's saying, we're going it alone with Iran. He goes, no, we're not. Israel's with us. Okay, table for two. Well, I guess because they keep saying all these Saudi Arabian countries are with us. None of the Saudi Arabian countries, none of the Middle East oil producing countries are with the United States on this right now. At least they're not publicly saying so. Our allies, our traditional allies, the people that we're supposed to be closest friends with, they're all basically looking at us and saying, what the heck? Russia is laughing all the way to the bank. Now, this is a nightmare. This is a joke. And I'm sorry that you guys can't see this, that you still think, you still have bought into the whole Reagan thing, that Reagan's going to save us. Reagan was a fraud himself who walked out of office with a, 27% approval rating, which the Republicans spent millions to try to turn around. And even Reagan would not even be a Republican today. He wouldn't. 952-946-6205. I can't help you people. If you are going to be that blind, if you're going to be the guy that covers your eyes, puts your fingers in your ears, and screams, I can't hear you, well, then you're beyond saving. You really are. Speaking of beyond saving, I don't know if we're going to get a bill out of the House and the Senate. Dayton... It's been interesting. Dayton has come on out and said that Governor Dayton says he won't negotiate a tax bill unless legislator agrees on emergency school aid. 7 days left to bill pass. Dowd says things progressing very nicely, but he says the request for emergency school aid has never been, Dayton never spoke to him about it. Looks like a political thing. Too late. He can call a special session. You want to know the truth is I'm actually of the mindset that very little is going to get done this session. That Dayton's going to veto pretty much everything that comes to his desk. Republicans are going to sit there and say, we'll probably flip him off. And at the end of the day, what are they going to do? Doubt does not want to have to ask Dayton for a special session. Dayton's already said he won't do a special session. So I think that the Republicans are going to put out the most far-right Republican bills they can, stuffed with these little rules in place to try to basically push a Republican agenda in an off year. And they're going to do this, and they're going to basically, knowing that Dayton is either going to veto the whole bill or a line item veto the living daylights out of the thing, and walk away. And Dayton is done. His legacy is finished. And the Democrats, they'll basically say, you're the ones that have controlled the House and the Senate. This is on you. Your unwillingness to work with the other side. Now you have to demand. You're just exactly like the Republicans and the federal government. You're demanding everything has to be your way. No negotiation, no concessions, nothing. And that is the Republican way. And I've seen your candidates. Good luck in November there, Republicans, along with the boat anchor that's going to be Donald Trump tied to your ankle. You guys, I think that this is just, it's the epitome of it. It breaks it down perfectly that they, you know, here we are a week out and not, there's no willingness to even say, hey, we'll consider it. Nothing like that. It's just, he wants that, that he has to, he's going to have to call a special session because we're not going to put it in our bill and he's going to have to sign our bill. So, ha. I don't think Kurt Doubt could be beaten and crowned because he's basically made his own little dictatorship up there. I hope he could. I would love to see him get beat. But to tell the truth, I would love the greatest thing we can do as Democrats is make him the minority leader, because that would be the ultimate failure for Kurt Doubt. That right there. Have to go on out there and have to basically have Melissa Hortman as the speaker telling him to sit down and shut up would be the greatest injustice. Him demanding that everyone has to bow to his needs as the minority leader after as badly as he's treated the Democrats in the Minnesota House, as badly as turning off people's microphones, jamming 700-page bills into people's faces. Yeah. Oh, Randy in Coon Rapids finally shows back up again, and we're not going to be able to talk to him because when we come on back, Jamie Malberg is joining us. 25A is the district. She will join us as Democrat of the Day. Randy, if you want to hold, I'll try to get you eventually. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Arter World May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The Artist Open Studio Tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arter World gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arter World.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and storms later today with a high near 77. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 53. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 77. And Wednesday, sunny with a high around 84. The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. Besides their delicious American bistro-style menu, they also offer a beautiful private dining room that is available for special events and business meetings. Located at 253 West 7th Street in downtown St. Paul with plenty of free parking, or at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Yes, indeed. Downtowner Woodfire Grill, eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Great pizzas over there, too, and the fresh seafood. Try that out. 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul, the Downtowner Woodfire Grill, the eatlocalminnesota.com, restaurant of the week. Democrat of the day for your Monday. Jamie Malberg, 25A. She is running to be the House Rep in 25A, basically the district northwest and west of Rochester. And she's kind enough to join us and talk about her campaign. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's start off with exactly who is Jamie Malberg?
Well, Jamie Malberg is at the heart an educator. I've been teaching at Rochester Community and Technical College since 2007. I moved to Minnesota for my job at RCTC. And so at the heart of what I do and what my values are is education. But I was raised in a blue collar union family in Dubuque, Iowa, and just distinctly remember lessons from my mother, who wasn't encouraged in a lot of her opportunities that she wanted to pursue, that I could do whatever I wanted. And so when I went on to college and finished my education, I was really only able to do that because of access to financial aid to help me pay for it when my family certainly couldn't. So I worked really hard, accumulated a little bit of debt, finished school, and landed my dream job at RCTC, where really I'm fortunate every day to create an environment where anyone who walks through my classroom door can achieve their goals. So when I moved to Rochester in 2007, I met my husband, Ryan, when he was living near his family farm over in Worthington, Minnesota. So I married a good farm boy from Southwest Minnesota, and here we still are.
Wow. What a woman from Iowa moves to Minnesota and marries a guy on a farm. That is nuts. That's nothing. Although I will give this Dubuque. That's a nice town. I've enjoyed that, but I imagine it was nice to get away from that one big hill.
You know, it really was. You know, it's nice to sled down in the winter, but walking back up it is not as fun.
And considering winter, when it does get winter, that's a fun ride. That's something that will meet your maker on that hill.
Yep.
So you all of a sudden one day say to yourself, because it sounds like you've got yourself a great life, and you know, you've come here, you found your husband, you're teaching, you've got a great job, but then all of a sudden something happened. Why did you decide to run for 25A?
Well, you know, back in 2016 broke my heart, really, the election outcome, seeing how closely Minnesota could have gone a different way. And I honestly, if you had asked me before that election, if politics was ever in my future, I probably would have laughed in your face. But I honestly, up through my whole life, I've been taught and I believe that government should be used to make people's lives better. I understand that investing in a state or a nation means investing in the state or nation's people. So really, after 2016, I was baffled when I started seeing all of my current elected representatives at a lot of different levels advancing this purely partisan agenda that doesn't really improve people's lives. I don't think that that's the way we need to be going. I believe that we should be cultivating and investing in opportunities for everybody. The reason I became an educator at a community college, and really that's the reason I'm running for office.
Jamie Malberg's joining us, 25A, Democrat of the day for today. Jamie, when we talk about issues here that you are interested in, you actually have, I mean, all politics is local, and you truly have a local issue, which is one of your top priorities, and that's US 14, mm-hmm. which runs west of Rochester through your district there. That's a road that's, you know, like many outstate roads, is a road that is, because of Republicans and the way they treat transportation finance, has not gotten the upgrades it needs to sustain the traffic that's on it, correct?
Correct.
All right. Talk a little bit about it, because, I mean, this is more than just your district. You talk about, I mean, there's trucks that are going by. There's other districts, neighboring districts as well, mm-hmm. that are impacted dramatically by the fact that the Republicans have failed to help rural Minnesota, which is what they say is their base. They have failed to help them when it comes to a major thoroughfare, a major artery for business in southern Minnesota.
Yeah, and, you know, when I look at this, too, I think how many years does it take to get this done? Highway 14, as you know, it's the major corridor of commerce in southeast Minnesota. We run from Rochester to Mankato out to New Ulm, and this is one of the last strips that's not done yet. It's still two-lane. Every crossing is on level with the road. There's a lot of commerce along that road. There's an ethanol plant out there, so the heavy truck traffic is really heavy on that strip of road. My husband actually drove to Mankato from Rochester for a year to work. And I can't even tell you the number of mornings that I woke up because he didn't text me right when he got to Mankato, mm-hmm. letting me know that he had made it, that, you know, people die on that road every year. That's when I'm talking to folks in Dodge Center and in Byron and in Caston and Manorville. That's one of the top priorities that they have. And so it's frustrating that it's taken this long to get that strip from Owatonna to Dodge Center completed so that we can safely travel along this really heavily traveled route between a lot of our towns.
It's amazing to me because that road was in bad shape back when my friends were going to the college in the late 80s. They still haven't upgraded it. And it, as you talked about ethanol, one of the things which is we are not hoping for any kind of massive tragedy, but unfortunately for the Republicans, for them to take a public works project like this seriously, generally you have to have a major tragedy, and then they say, well, I guess we have to fix it, as opposed mm-hmm. to, you know, generally sometimes you'll find a one stretch is finished because there's a major contributor to their campaign that was there, so they put it in the pork bill. But, you know, there really is a short-sighted nature here to this because we should not have a situation where, you know, it's done piecemeal, it's done to where it's not safe, and we only get this done when there's a tragedy.
Right. I agree 100%. And, I mean, there have been tragedies. Every death, every accident on that road is a tragedy, and they happen every year. And it's just becoming more and more vital that we get this project done. As you think of all the people now also that are coming into Rochester and commuting from further and further away as Destination Medical Center expands and the job needs in Rochester become more heightened, there's just more and more people on that strip of road. So it's not going to get more safe. It's just going to get less safe with the increased traffic. And frankly, it needed to be done years ago. It needs to be done. That would be a number one priority. If it's not included in this bonding money this year, that it just needs to be done. We need to advocate for the people in Southeast Minnesota who are traveling that strip of road and get that done. Well, all the corridors of commerce fund. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and the eastern part, as you say, is the eastern part of 25A is becoming very suburban Rochester, and mm-hmm. you know, you don't put a substandard road in a major corridor like that. I mean, it stymies business development. It stymies safety. And also, you know, building as far as homes and communities, people are not going to go out there. It's like, why would I take my time and money as a mm-hmm. developer and go build something out there when the road is at no point is looking like it's going to be able mm-hmm. to get fixed?
Yeah. One of the things we're really focusing on just strengthening all of the infrastructure that we have in this region, and really the public transit and the roads is priority number one in that area, just to make sure that people can get safely to and from where they live and where they work. Just it needed to be done.
And a reminder too, Republicans for years have said that this is what they're concerned about is outstate Minnesota, but they have not delivered for outstate Minnesota, not in any capacity. Right. Jamie Malberg is once again joining us, Democrat of the Day, 25A. What other issues are you focusing on in this district? What are you hearing from the constituents down there, what they want to have addressed?
You know, as an educator myself, I hear a lot of education. People are really focused on education in this district. We have wonderful public schools. People in our communities take real pride in the quality of our public schools. And so it's been frustrating for a lot of people to see the stagnant and decreasing, quite frankly, funding for our public schools, not only our K-12 infrastructure, but even in higher education. You look at a lot of the buildings in Minnesota State system and they're just crumbling. The building I work in at RCTC, we tweeted out a picture a couple of months ago when the snow started melting and there's water literally dripping into the building from the ceiling because we're not getting funding to keep our buildings updated. And so when we're really feeling prideful about our public schools, we need to make sure that we're funding those schools at every level so that we can retain the quality teachers and educators that we have and professionals that make those buildings great places to send your kids to school. So I'm hearing a lot about education and making sure that funding is equitable and fair and really is just keeping pace, at the very least, with inflation so that those schools keep the programs that they have to serve our students.
Well, and there's also, when you talk about failure to upgrade the roads, this has also been another area where there's been the fuzzy math sort of thing, as you say. Mm-hmm. It's like the people will say, well, do we really need to upgrade the schools and have a budget for each school district annually? Yeah, you kind of do, because you know, projects come on up. But conservative education policy, especially when it comes to funding the building and the facilities that we have, whether it's you know K-12, pre-K, or post-high school education, they basically have used that as a hot potato and said, oh, well, it's good enough. And the reality is, I mean, we've had decades of Republicans kicking the can down the road. And mm-hmm. right now, I mean, as you said, you're not the only schools I've heard about. There are a lot of schools, not in the inner cities, not here. I mean, although those schools are having problems, but a lot of schools in outstate Minnesota where they haven't had major remodeling, refunding, fixing of problems. Everything's put together with Band-Aids and prayers, and it's been that way for 20 years.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many wonderful programs that our schools offer. For example, out at Triton, they have a wonderful performing arts program out there. And there's a lot of talk about cutting back on that program because there's just not the funding to keep the facilities up to date and to keep the personnel involved to keep those programs going. And it's such a point of pride when I talk to folks in Dodge Center about that performing arts program and how frustrating it is to see it on the chopping block year after year because the funding's not there. And I think what people need to really kind of think about is when the state cuts funding, we still need to pay the basic amount of money to keep these schools functional. And a lot of times that gets kicked out to our smaller communities with a referendum that may or may not pass. And so somebody's paying for the schools. And so we need to make sure that that funding is, that the state is really committed to funding our schools and funding education, because really the students coming through Minnesota education is the future of Minnesota, and making sure that they're here and feeling good about staying here.
Absolutely. And you're in 25A. I mean, being right outside of Rochester, I'm presuming this is, I mean, the knowledge of medicine and the need for quality medical care, I imagine, is a major issue, especially when you're seeing people. Once again, the big difference between the last major election and this election is your insurance is likely a lot worse thanks to Republicans, mm-hmm. whether that's here on the state level or on the federal level. Talk about some of the health care issues that you've come across in your district.
Well, you know, we do live next door to the best hospital in the country.
Yes.
But too many of our neighbors are, like you said, are unable to access the health care that they need, not only the physical health care, the mental health care that they need. And so when I'm talking to folks, you know, the cost of health care, especially for our rural communities, is really, really burdening families. It's difficult to crawl out of medical expense debt. And so a lot of people are really concerned about how are they going to afford their premiums and how are they going to be able to access the care. And even for those who might be able to afford the care, they don't have access, especially to the mental health care that is so important for everyone, but especially in our rural communities. A lot of that health care is centralized in Rochester. And so that having that necessary, again, traveling on 14 to get into Rochester to access this care. And so people are really interested in just any option that would be available. And I would be committed to exploring any solution that provides universal health care, including access to mental health care for every family in Minnesota, whether that starts as a Minnesota Care buy-in and growing from there. But that's really on people's minds for sure.
And you can't deny, I mean, as you brought up mental health care, the failures by the Republican leadership to deal with a problem, which people have been saying, hey, this is the funding for this area is grossly inadequate. We need to have more funding, better facilities. They've completely ignored those pleas. And we're really starting to see the downsides of our inaction in the state.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and again, like you said earlier, we have to wait for another crisis. What kind of tragedy do we need to wait for? What is going to be tragic enough to get, you know, to motivate people to fund these programs and to fund the infrastructure that we need to provide that essential mental health care for folks? I teach psychology, and so oftentimes I hear stories of students and of just community members who are, you know, they want to be successful in their lives. They want to be able to work and care for their families and just be healthy and happy where they are. And it's just that preventing issue of, you know, not being able to care for their mental health is really what's hurting people and holding people back. So it needs to be done for sure.
Jamie Malberg, 25A. I imagine now that the weather has gotten quite nice, that you are getting the door knocking and the volunteers are needed as well as donations, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we've been on the doors here. We were out today in Byron. We were out over the weekend in Dodge Center. We got a little rained on today, but nothing we couldn't overcome. So it's been great being out talking to folks.
You know, I say this every time I've talked to a Democrat of the day since we started this new season of this. And here's what I'm going to repeat what I've said. Help your local Democrat. By all means, help your local campaigns. But if you really want to have the blue wave, if you really want to have, you know, Kurt Daut be the minority leader, which would be brilliant, you need to get on out. And this summer, pick five Democrats across the state, five of them, and go volunteer, help out in their district. Jamie is 25A. This is just right down by Rochester. A great place for you to head on down just south of the Twin Cities. You can get in there, help out, do some door knocking, or make a donation to help Jamie come in to the St. Paul and into the house there. We'd love to have you there. JamieForHouse.com, J-A-M-I-E for House.com. That's the website, correct?
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
And you are also pretty much linked on all social media, so you can find Jamie Malberg out everywhere. She's got a great presence out there, and she's a fantastic candidate for 25A. Jamie, I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Jamie Malberg, 25A. Let's spotlight that one. Democrat of the day for today, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Apparently, Randy in Coon Rapids is going to call back in. He wants to talk about how great Trump is. I can't wait. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
How long will I love you? Being a dog is awesome, except when you really got to go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
With spring, it's car wash season. Thank goodness for the Luther Advantage program from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I save 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, but I also get big discounts on car washes. And with free 2 years of maintenance with every new Toyota purchased, I can get my oil change and spring service done with the best service and maintenance department at Rudy Luther Toyota. Clear your spring checklist with great service from Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll be back to talk about someone who's made the world a better place. Yes, Ellie 2.0 is about idealism and my own practical idealism, where I share not only about real heroes, but also about my work as I go across North America, training on human inclusivity, and where I seek to make the world a better place. Please tune in. Ellie 2.0 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's a great day for a bike ride. What's that? You can't find your bike? Oh, it has a flat. No problem. Take it to Nokomis Cycle, the hardest working bike shop in town. They're celebrating their 23rd year in business. In that time, they've mastered the art of friendly, dependable service. So keep life and your bike moving with Nokomis Cycle, working harder to make you go faster. Nokomis Cycle at the corner of 46th and Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis or at NokomisCycle.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own four or six packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. 25A is a very winnable seat, especially with what we're seeing right now. With what we're seeing right now, it's a 16-point swing to the Democrats, and that's before the soybean market has been basically decimated. So 25A is very much in play. If you can help out Jamie Malberg down in 25A, that would be great. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hey, it's the ghost of Christmas past. Randy in Croon Rapids finally shows back up again. Hey, Randy.
No, I've been out of the loop for the last couple months. I took a pretty bad fall. And
oh, no.
Had a little surgery. And
Okay. Okay, politics aside, are you okay? Is the prognosis good?
Well, it's got to be the slowest. I mean, I'm not even up to turtle speed. I fell and I broke my femur and my pelvic in three different places.
Oh no!
And had to have I got a rod going from my hip all the way down to my knee. And man, I'm telling you, I had no idea the human body could go through this kind of pain. I mean, I was on, and that's why I just haven't been on tuned in anything because I was on narcotics for, I think, about 6 or 7 weeks somewhere around there. So it's been a slow recovery. I'm slowly getting back into things, but it's still going to be a little while. I don't recommend anyone breaking that bone. They tell you it's the largest bone and it's going to hurt for a while, and they're not kidding.
Was it a fall on ice? Did you fall in the ice or something?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was the end of February. It was kind of melty out, and then overnight it froze, and we got a really thin layer of just a dusting over the top of it. And I was already kind of shuffling around all winter long because, you know, about a year and a half ago, I had both of my knees replaced. So I was kind of, you know, just being a little protective, and I'm not really digging this whole falling thing. And, I mean, it was unbelievable how fast I hit the ground. It was like I was walking, and the next conscious thought I had was I was on the ground. And, ugh. I mean, I have never in my life experienced that kind of pain. I mean, that's,
My brother went in, back in the 70s, had the same thing. He walked to the back of a Gran Torino just to change a tire, went down, and next, you know, he ended up, I think, broke his leg in three places. But my aunt, she was up in Duluth, same exact thing. Ice winter up in Duluth. She's in the parking lot of her apartment complex. Down she goes. Sounds almost like the same exact injury. Broke her hip, broke her pelvis. That was a bad deal, man. And I know exactly the type of ice you're talking about. It gets a little slick, and then you get that deceptive little layer of ice, snow on there. You can't tell where the ice is and it isn't, and down you go.
Well, Matt, the pain was so bad when the paramedics came, they gave me what they consider it's a horse tranquilizer. They only give that to people that are, like, in severe trauma and major accidents and stuff. They said I was – you know, and I can't remember a lot of it, but they said I was in so much pain, they didn't think I would make it to the hospital. And all I could remember was looking out the back of the ambulance, and I could just see, it was like a tunnel, and all I could see was just blurry. And the tranquilizer they gave me, it literally paralyzes your body. So I couldn't move, and I was talking to the gal in the ambulance, and I said to her, I go, can you hear me? And she's like, yeah, I can hear you. Everything's fine. And I says, is my mouth moving? Because I couldn't consciously tell if she knew that my mouth was even moving and that I was even talking to her. It was just a great drug because I didn't have any pain on the way to the hospital. But that was the first time I thought I was literally dying because I just saw a tunnel. You know, everything was just blurry. And nobody. I don't care who you are. You that's not a bone you want to break.
Well, here's what I'm going to do is let's not talk politics. All my best to you. You heal up. When you're feeling better, give us a call back. We'll talk politics at that point. But, you know, take care, man. I know the injury you've had. That's a tough recovery road. You take care of yourself, and we'll chat some other time, okay?
All right. Now I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about down the road, Matt.
Yeah, I guarantee you. Take care, Randy. Randy in Coon Rapids there. You know, I know there are some people right now who are probably livid at me saying, Matt, come on. You should take him to task. First of all.
Not after that story.
No. Come on.
You just broke your leg. Oh, no, I'm going to take you down. Yeah,
how about we say it like this? Thank gosh we have great medicine here. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he had health insurance, which is great. I'm glad he had that. I think that when you look at injuries like that, I think that even he would agree at this point is that you should just be able to get the medicine, the health care that you need immediately without having to think about having to sell off your house, sell off your car, canceling your kids' college and stuff like that. I think that that's the case. And, you know, and thank goodness for the people that took care of the guy and got him to the hospital, got him at least. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's been a pleasant recovery, which I'm very understandable. But my goodness, you know, and how many times this year, how many times was I outside and I was in the winter and I saw that? I mean, you have to be careful. You have to shovel your feet the entire way, no matter what.
Or just don't go outside when it's icy. It's just, that was a bad winter with that.
One quick final note. Hey, go over to Twitter because interesting story. Supreme Court basically ruled that sports gambling can't be illegal, that if we have it in Nevada, we have to basically have it everywhere. This is a New Jersey lawsuit, so they've already started it. Representative Pat Garofalo wants to work. I saw the stories today. He wants to work with the Native American casinos to bring sports gambling in there, which I thought was kind of interesting because didn't Pat Garofalo just defend Republican Sandra Erickson in her racist anti-Native American comments, but now he wants to work with the Native American groups. So I went and checked. Yep, indeed. He deleted all the his tweets about that. They don't seem to exist there, but thank gosh I saved them because I have them and I've posted the one major one where he went after Peggy Flanagan. There you go. Mike is up next. Have a good day. Till tomorrow. See ya.